For my installment of Farmer Friday, I've got Jim Kellner. Jim, of course, lives in Eddyville, works for Nutrient Ag Solutions there in Oskaloosa, and farms down in the Van Buren area with his relatives, his brother. Jim, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Yep, thanks for having me, Pat.
Last time we talked, we were getting ready for the planting, got the planting going and whatnot, and now we've got crops that look fantastic, and we've got plentiful rain. How's it look down your way with the crops there with Kellner Brothers?
Our crops are looking really good for the most part. The early planted stuff looks better than the later planted stuff. As far as the haying, we've got the first crop, second crop up. We do have two crops of sorghum sedan that we're going to be wet baling. It's been a struggle. Our target time was this past week to do that, but with the onslaught of rain, that's going to delay us till next week. But our goal is to wet bale about 60 acres of sorghum sedan and then redo that process the first week of October. Like I said, the crops for the most part look really good. We've had some slide in markets. Overall, everything looks really good for this fall.
You mentioned the earlier planted is better looking than the later planted. What's the attribute for that? Was it because of the fact that it's been growing longer and it's been able to get more sunshine? Is that what we're looking at? Or because of the fact that the later stuff was just incredibly late due to the wet window that it was in?
The earlier stuff seems like it got some heat units that it needed to develop some root structure and some height. We got a rain about an inch and three tenths when our early stuff was knee-high corn and our later stuff was 6 to 8 inches. That corn in the same section, for the most part, seems to be a foot and a half taller, that earlier stuff. It seems like it was ready to run at the time of that rain, where the later stuff wasn't ready to run and it kind of stayed stagnant. We haven't been out to the fields to see if we've got some 16 rounds versus 14 or 18 versus 16 in that regards. But for the most part, as far as plant height and vigor of the crop, it looks like this year the earlier stuff seems to be shining a lot better than the later planted stuff.
When you talk about that 16 to 18, you're talking about the rows of kernels around the ear. Is that what you're talking about?
Correct, yep.
And, of course, if there's 18 rows, you've got more kernels. You're going to have a higher yield. Talk about how that plays into the amount of grain that it eventually ends up with.
Yeah, when the corn plant has about 6 leaves on it, it's going to determine that maximum girth or ear, rows around. So if it's under stress, whether it be heat stress, drought stress, fertility stress, it'll decide that I'd rather put on less rows of kernels and have a more viable kernel for reproductive additional next year's crop. It's just Mother Nature. But for the most part, when the plant's 6 leaves, we want to make sure that we do anything we can not to have any stress on it, such as a herbicide application where it has to metabolize a herbicide. And this is really vulnerable when it's either cold or hot, dry or wet, or struggling to take in fertility. At that point, that plant is also getting ready to run, and it's going to vegetatively take off and grow vegetatively. And so if we have a lack of root structure and it's not able to gather that fertilizer that it needs, it'll impede the amount of rows of kernels and back off too. So anything in our control at 6 to 8 leaves, we want to do to mitigate any stress on the plant because of any other stress that is out of our control. But yeah, ultimately you're looking for 18 around at that point.
It's kind of great to see that you can see that with the ear placement and of course counting those ears as they start to get formed. You mentioned the word heat units, and that takes into effect the heat that the temperature of the day, the height, the maximum temperature of how it is high, and of course the lower temperature as well at night. Talk about those heat units for those listeners that aren't quite sure about that.
Well, so a corn plant will tassel at, depending on the hybrid, 1,000 to 1,200 heat units, and then it is mature at 2,200 to 2,400 heat units. So a corn plant does not grow below 55 degrees and does not, or mature, above 85 degrees. So if your low at night is 65 degrees, then you get a 10 full units of heat to count towards that maturity. Then it, during the day, if it gets up to 80 degrees from a low of 65, that would be 15, and you have to divide that by 2 because it wasn't 80 degrees the whole day. It was only part of the day. And so that certain 24-hour period, you would take the 10 plus the 7.5, makes 17.5 units towards that maturity. In addition to that, if it gets to a high of 90, then you would back that off to 85 because it quit maturing at 85. So believe it or not, there's still guys who cultivate, and they know at a certain heat units when that corn is too tall to cultivate or side dress nitrogen. There's people who track those heat units for knowing when to chop for corn silage, and as well as knowing when to start looking at black layer for harvest. Soybeans, on the other hand, they mature based on the daylight hours. So as the nighttime becomes longer and the daytime becomes less, those soybeans will sense that, and they will start maturing based upon the number of minutes, the time of daylight hours. A lot of times people will be baffled. There'll be a street light on the edge of a town, and they'll wonder why the soybeans never turn. They're always green, and it's because they're still believing that it's the middle of summer and they have no reason to mature. So it's very interesting how Mother Nature works when it comes to crop development.
So yeah, on those soybeans, the longest day of the year is June 21. If you notice after that, the days start to get shorter, obviously. That's when the soybean takes off, so it's kind of cool. And then moisture-wise, they always say that your August rains are what's going to fill out those pods as those pods get formed and the bean processes itself. So that's why it's so important to get rain in August.
It is. Soybeans, August rain makes grain in regards to soybeans. The soybean, the soybean is round like a ball, and, you know, anything you can put on in addition to what you already have produces yield. Under drought stress, if there's three beans in a pod, there'll be the number three bean will give up and shrivel up to supply the other two soybeans what it needs. And so when that starts to happen due to dry weather, you dramatically reduce your yield. So yes, the soybean plant, like I said, August rain produces grain. The corn plant is kind of interesting, to where the leaves on a corn plant, they will act as a funnel. So even if we don't get rain, a lot of nights when we have a heavy dew or in our yards and whatnot, you'll see a circle of moisture around the base of a corn plant. And that's Mother Nature's way of making sure that corn plant has enough moisture or has enough water to produce a viable ear with strong kernels, where a bean plant doesn't have that funnel structure to it.
Lots of times, too, farmers will go out in that soybean field and they'll count the pods. And again, it's like the 16 rows or 18 rows of kernels. They'll count the pods and they'll figure up how many beans are in that plant. So talk about that, how they can predict the yield.
They can predict the yield with kind of an educated guess based upon counting pods, counting soybeans in the pods, and you can a farmer plants roughly one bushel per acre, and if he were to count, say, 30 pods and have three beans, that would be 90 soybeans. So you planted one bushel per acre. In theory, mathematically, you now have a yield of 90 bushel. Then what comes into play is the fact that when you combine, you're not going to get every single soybean. There'll be some soybeans where the pods will open up due to a rain. So then you basically take your 90 and you back it off based upon your years of experience and what you've counted in the past and what you've always ended up with. But it gives a farmer a better idea of what he's going to need for fall storage, what he might have to move to the processors, and gives him an idea of what he's looking forward to as far as how much money he can spend to maintain cash flow and what he needs to do to make sure everything functions in that fall in regards to storage.
I'm talking with Jim Kellner. Jim is the manager at Nutrien Ag Solutions there in Oskaloosa, but also farms with his brother and family down there in Van Buren. Real quick, you mentioned early in our segment here, wet baling of sorghum. Inform the folks, why is it called wet and how do you keep it from spoiling?
So it's the sorghum sedan, the reason we plant it is it, once it starts to grow, it grows roughly an inch per day and it does not need the moisture like other crops do, and it produces a forage for cattle feed. The reason why we wet bale it versus dry baling it is because this stuff is chest to shoulder high right now, and when we mow it next week, and we'll get another crop similar to that, but when we mow it, it'll be so thick that it'll take, you know, a week of dry, low humidity weather to dry it to where we could dry bale it. So what we do is we will mow it and we'll let it what we call wilt, and we'll let for a day, roughly 24 to 36 hours, we'll let it wilt or partially dry. And then that allows the baler, the big round baler, to bale it without the juices leaving the actual crop. Then a machine will load those big round bales onto a machine, and then it will go around and around that bale and put stretch wrap on it to seal in the forage and basically let it ferment like silage. It just speeds up the process, and the cattle, it almost caramelizes it, and the cattle just love it. They eat it like candy, and it's a process. It's a lot of work because you're actually baling more water than normal, so you get more tonnage. You don't get more dry matter, but it works really well, and the cattle love it. It's just a matter of mustering up enough help to get those bales hauled to that machine, that wrapper, and get it done in a timely manner.
Jim, thanks for taking time out to be with us here on Farmer Friday. And, of course, to our listeners, if you want to listen to this interview all over again, go to www.kiicradio.com, select that audio vault that's on the top banner, and then on the right side, you'll be able to see all of the other Farmer Friday editions that we have, and you can click on any one of those to listen to them all over again. Jim, thanks for being with me here on KIIC for Farmer Friday.
Thanks, Pat.